What I'm doing today is I kind of wanted to share with you the congregation where we've been and where we're going in the church. One thing I always want to do is I always want to communicate. I mean, that's my desire. And so everybody's aware where we're at, where we're going, and then if you have any questions, we can go from there. I will tell you that we do our best to communicate the best that we can from the office. You know, of course, you got the bulletins where we're communicating there. So you got the bulletins, we got the email blasts, we got Facebook, we've got the scrolling on Sunday mornings, and we've got the pastor that stands up. So we don't know how we can communicate any better except to go to each person's house and read the bulletin to you. So we're doing the best we can. One of the issues that we are struggling with is communication back to us, because sometimes somebody will go in the hospital or something like that, and we don't know, and there's not much we can do about it. And then you get the ever famous, "Hey, why didn't he? Why?" and all that stuff. So all I ask is that we kind of communicate back to us. Well, what I want to share with you today is just some statistics about the church and where we've been and where we're going to be going in the next year. So here are just some fun facts. You've seen it on your the scrolling on the TVs. But Mount Tabor has 13 furnaces. Of those, 11 work. Two of them, I'm about ready to take a baseball bat to them and take care of them, because we've been really struggling with that that whole thing in the sanctuary. There are 29 windows at Mount Tabor, and so Beth has to clean every one of them. 10 entrances at Mount Tabor, so that's kind of fun to make sure all the doors are locked and everything else. There are 7 restrooms at Mount Tabor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and everybody forgets about the one that's in the mother's room right there, but there is a small little restroom in there. And 89 doors at Mount Tabor. Actually, Dennis Hinkle's the one that gave me the idea of doing this, because we were talking about how many furnaces there are, and he goes, "You need to look at how many doors there are at Mount Tabor." 89 doors at Mount Tabor, and we're not including the cupboards or anything like that. So, 89 doors in Mount Tabor. Anybody any idea how many lights are in Mount Tabor? Lights at Mount Tabor. Okay. Now, I'm figuring this out. How much does a fluorescent bulb burn? I just went, okay, let me just give an average of, let's say, 50 watts. And so if all of them are running at the same time, that's 40,000 watts that are going out of this church at a time. So that's one reason why our electric bill is so high. So those are just some fun statistics about Mount Tabor. But anyway, our membership is 229. We have a total constituency, or an average attendance of 220 last year. Our total constituency is 320. What it means is, if everybody showed up at the same time, we would have 320 people in the church. And that includes those who only come on Christmas and Easter too, but that just gives you an idea of our constituency here. A lot of children, we know that, just an awful lot of them. Our Sunday school average attendance has gone from 60 to 100. When I first got here, our average attendance at Sunday school was about 60, 66, somewhere around there. Now we're cracking 100 an awful lot, and that's a good thing. A lot of it has to do with two things. One, we developed a new Sunday school class that now meets up there, and we did Love and Respect with them, and now they're doing a balanced financial. And so what happens, they bring, and now, then they also bring in their kids, and so we probably have seen an uptick of the children in the Sunday school hour as well. So that is a very healthy sign, and that's a very good sign that's happening. Last year, we had three confessions of faith, and those are people who gave their life to the Lord, three individuals, and that's low, if you really think about it. A church this size, three confessions of faith, which brought three baptisms, that's pretty low. That's something we're going to have to work on, is how we're going to be presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ better and more effectively, and to get that. I'd like to see at least 30 a year, and I'm not talking about the kids at VBS, because you can get 100 a year from kids at VBS. I'm talking about people who don't know Jesus that can come to know Christ as well. So, our income last year, our general offering was $215,413. Our special offerings was $20,341. Interest, $128,000. Capital improvement, $79,000, and miscellaneous was $2,500, which brought us a grand total of $317,926 that came into the church. Okay. And I know a lot of that, probably about $100,000 of it, was to pay down the debt that's on this building and whatnot. So that's pretty good. Interesting thing when you think about it. Oh, our expenses was this. Last year was $284,000. You're saying, wow, we made money. Not this month. We put in a new furnace, and the furnace repairman and me are best of friends right now. We're getting to know each other every Monday morning. Hey, how you doing? We're back again. Yeah, you are. And especially with the sanctuary, we can't figure out what the problem is there. We thought it was a transformer. They replaced that last week, and now we're still having issues. So total income, $317,000. Total expenses. So I think that was probably a lot of that was eaten up this past week. Okay. Now, this is interesting. Staff expenses. A healthy church has 50%. It's around 50%. You don't want to go more than that, because you really tie your hands. My last church, it was like 66%. We were pretty staff heavy. This is about 50%, which is a good number to have. However, when you look at total income, and that's with everything, all the funds that are coming in, that's very, very low. 36%. And I'll talk about that a little bit later, but 54% off the general fund, but the total income is 36%, and like I said, that's very, very low. And that, that'll bring me up to a comment I'm eventually going to make. Okay, I want to share with you who the board people are, the board chairs, and your officers. The board chair is Dave Stos, vice chair is Pete Hayes, Elder board chair. Is that wrong? Who's chair? I thought you quit. Not the elder board, but...
President.
What?
Board president.
Okay, I'm wrong. One of the few times in my life I am wrong.
We'll
ask Polly about that. Okay, it's... okay. All right. Daryl is the chairman of the elder board. We'll make sure we get that right. Okay. Elders, Dave Stos, Pete Hayes, Daryl Edgkin. I can never say your last name right.
Edgun.
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 Edgun. Okay. Brian Sype and Jim Gray. And so those are our elders. We are always looking for more elders, by the way. And the Bible says if you feel called to be an elder, that you should let us know about it. You would go through a process of training. You just don't just become an elder. You would go through a process of training, and we would go from there. So, deacons, Daniel Stos, Mark Houts, Todd Openlinder, and Ethan Hayes are the deacons. Deaconesses, Carla Fent, Nancy Egon, and Rachel Seif. So those are our deaconesses. Trustees, Tim Kaufman, Dennis Hinkle, John Stos, Aaron Fent. And now I understand there might be another one, but that's what was on the information that was given to me. Treasurer Nancy Obenlitner, said your name right. Did I say it right? Pretty close. Jan Hurdle is the clerk, and Sunday School, Brenda, I was going to say Staus, just to get it wrong, you know. Brenda Stoes, Assistant Superintendent Rachel Stoker. Outreach Chairman Danny Stoes. So those are our officers that are in the church. Did I miss any of them? Because that was a big list that I put on there. And so I want you to be aware of them. They are the officers. They are in charge of some important areas. And, you know, if you see something with the building, you might want to talk to Dennis Hinkle. If you see something with the on the spiritual realm, you might want to talk to Daryl. That's very important. So I know that you normally have an installation service, but I don't know how that goes. What do? Just is the officers, you pray for them or just recognize them? Okay, we can do that at the end then, okay? I'm still learning you guys. You guys are fun. Okay. Oh, and Polly. Church officers, adult alternatives to conferences, Polly Dutton, Tammy Stoes, and Terry Krogman. So that's who those are. All right. Some of the highlights of this past year. Easter egg hunt. Over 400 people came to the Easter egg hunt this past year. We didn't have enough candy. That's something we keep in mind for next year. So 400 people we introduced to Mount Tabor at that time. T-ball, 110 youth. VBS, between 80 and 90 youth attended this church, along with, three funnel clouds that went over the church this past year. who all was in the bathrooms with the kids at the time? You think very much. You did a good job. We took our kids back to Detroit Airport yesterday and stopped in Findlay and met some of our friends there and we were talking about it and they go, yeah, in Findlay you had floods and up down there at Salina all you have was tornadoes. I said, hey, yeah, what do you expect? I'm Darwin Disaster is my name. So two of them actually went over this church, and one of them went over November 3rd, the morning before the tornado that hit Salina. Poor Beth was outside, and she almost played Dorothy on The Wizard of Oz because she was outside, and it just blew. I walked outside, ran outside, really, and the clouds were doing this, almost going down on the Stoes house, but it went right back up. So anyway. Youth were averaging around 30 kids, and for a church this size, that is superb. I know of churches that are larger that would kill for that number. And so Kyle's doing an excellent job with the youth, and I thank him. I don't see him, but I thank him for all the work that he's doing there. I'm going to make a comment about Kyle since he's not here. There he is. Your beard just blends into the back area because it's so dark back there. But I am going to say this, Kyle. You're getting a bargain with Kyle. You're getting a bargain with the amount of work that he does for the church and beyond, even beyond his job description. You're getting a really big bargain with him. So, children's church. I went to the children's church a number of months ago and sat in there and just to observe what they were doing. And all I can say is, wow. I was really impressed with what's happening in that children's church because the kids are going in and they're learning the Bible. It isn't just a playtime. I mean, they are teaching these kids the scripture. And that, my friends, is so important because it is my goal that when we leave, these kids leave Tabor to go to college or whatever else that might happen in life, that they know the scriptures. And so I was very, very impressed with that. And if you don't send your kids to children's church, I highly recommend that you do that. So just want to let you know about that. All right, our music talent in the church is good, really good. I mean, wherever Abby's at. Where? Oh, they're practicing. I can say anything I want about her now, can't I?
I'm still here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, but you're on crutches. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, the music talent here is very, very good. All right, what have I done this past year? Well, we've started doing a number of behind-the-scenes stuff that needed to happen. We're reorganizing the office and a lot of the policies of the church. You're saying, why are policies so important? Well, policies are, like I call them like SOPs on a fire department. What truck goes out first? On a grass fire, what truck goes out first? The tanker? Well, why not? No, it's the grass truck. The SOP, standard operating procedure, says the grass truck goes first. On a structure fire, do you take the rescue truck out first? No, you take the pumper out first. Now, there are times that you have to change a little bit because of the circumstances that might raise. You might have a grass fire that's a and they call it in as a grass fire, and you find out it was actually a structure fire. And then you have to change and adapt. Well, what policies do is they give you that ability to know what is next, what has to happen in the church. And the nice part about a policy is that when something does happen, you can rely on it. And that to say, basically say, the board said. This is what the board wants. And you can hold on to that. So we've been dealing with that this past year and have implemented a number of policies in the church. A good example would be the chairs. And this is just a little one, but signing the chairs out. Why is it so important that we know where the chairs are going? Well, I'd venture to say a number of you have chairs at your house that are Mount Tabor's. That's number one. The second one is, let's say you come in and take 20 chairs out of here because you have a party and didn't tell anybody, but yet we already promised 200 chairs to someone else. Do you see where the conflict comes in? So that helps us in the office. Or you come in and say, I'm going to have a pizza party here in the Rock, but yet we're on that very day is when we're having the women's retreat. So one of the most important parts of our church is actually becoming the calendar that's in the secretary's office. You say, but I wanted to rent the church. The first thing you need to do is you need to look at that calendar, and because it's first come, first serve. And if it's not up there, you know, and you come and say, well, we've always done it at this time, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, but I'm new. And they requested it first. And we've already had that conflict on a few areas. And so hopefully they're working out. So anyway, so I'm working on those policies. And I gave the board a policy last month to look at, which is a hard one. But that's one that's called the sexual abuse policy. That if something happens within this church that's inappropriate, how do we handle it when the media comes in and everything else? Believe it or not, I've had to use that before. Not for me, but for someone else. You know, I have somebody in my office confessing to something, and I just reached over, handed a policy, said, you're fired. I mean, really easy to do that. Well, it wasn't easy. It was a very hard time. The next thing is we started live broadcasting on Sunday mornings. I was a little nervous about that because the thought was, well, if you live broadcast, then they're not going to come to church. Well, what we're finding out is that people, when they're at work or they're homesick or they just got done with surgery on their knee, what are they doing? They're watching the worship services. So we have not seen a decline in the attendance as a result of that. We're also seeing that when there's a really good sermon that's being preached and you really like it, you guys are passing it on as well. In fact, this say the church address is actually being live broadcast right now because we have a number of people who can't be here today, but they wanted to hear what we were going to talk about. So we're going to keep live broadcasting. We're still trying to get it worked out, some of the kinks. It's just a long process in how we're getting that done. But right now it's off my cell phone, but we want to get a live camera in here so I don't have to worry about my cell phones anymore. So those are some things that we've upgraded. We've also upgraded, as you know, we put TVs out there that have the announcements that are scrolling. We did have the missionaries on there, and that was my original intent, is to put the missionaries. But you want to know why I gave up? Because people keep turning the TV down. Okay? So when you have the missionary that's giving their testimony and all you see them is they're just mouthing things, so I gave up. I mean, I'm not going to keep fighting it. So maybe I'll go back to it. Not that I just said this, but that's the main reason. I mean, I think, you know, when you can have a missionary that's in Haiti that's saying, this is what I'm doing, it's like a one-minute little presentation up there, and they can sit there and they can look at what the missionaries are doing, you know, like the Schellenbergers or Sharon Nelson's son, Dillinger's, and all those people. So, like I said, right now we're just scrolling the announcements, and that's why the missionaries have gone off of it. So, we did start small groups this past summer, Love and Respect, and that went into that classroom upstairs, which was the beginning, I believe, the beginning of seeing the bounce in the Sunday school hour. Okay, we did a Mendon outreach where we cooperated with the Mendon Church. You're going to find that out about me. I am a strong cooperator. I believe that when two churches are in the same area, why waste resources? You know, why... You know, if we got a van and they need it, God bless them, let them use it. They shouldn't have to buy a van if we've got one. Now, true, there's insurance issues there, but I'm just using that as an illustration. But we went into Mendon. We went into the Mendon Church parking lot or the community parking lot, and we had an outreach there. And the purpose was to glorify Christ and to help the Mendon Church. That was the main purpose behind. Well, the third purpose was for you all to learn the value and the joy of outreaching. And those who did it, did you have a good time? Yeah. It's fun to do that. It really is. And now I'm going, okay, you know what we could do next year? We could bring a band in. We could do this. We could do this. So it's just a lot of thoughts that are happening as a result of that. So we've done outreach. I know that the youth, they're cooperating right now with Salina First in some areas. And tonight they're going to a Super Bowl party at New Horizons Church. And there's going to be, 100 some odd youth there or something like that. And so, so they're going to be doing that. Once again, I'm a firm believer in it. 2 weeks ago, we started our first meeting with a discipleship mentoring group. We have 12 individuals that we have prayed about, and they're going to start learning discipleship. That's my goal for this church: disciples making disciples, a few at a time. Where when you come into the church, and let's say you give your life to the Lord, that I can point you to someone in the church that will invest their lives into you. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus had 72 disciples. Of those, he invested intently into 12 of them. Of the 12, he invested even in more intently into 3. And if you notice, 72, congregation, 12 board members, let's just say that, and then 3, an inner group. And he taught them how to make other disciples. And that's where we're going as this church. Disciples making disciples a few at a time. So where you just don't know about Jesus, but you live Jesus. And I think that's where we've lost it in the churches of America. We've done a lot of evangelism, which is great, but we didn't do much follow-up. We haven't done much discipleship with them. So if somebody gives their life, or they come down from a crusade and singing Just As I Am, and they pray the prayer, and they come to Christ, and then we say, God bless you, little baby. Go find a church. And that's normally what we do. And then we get what I experienced a lot in my ministry is individuals who are in prison over and over and over again, and yet they're Christians. Seriously, you go into Christian, how many of you are Christian, prison, how many are Christian? Oh, yeah, I gave my life to Christ. Then why are you here? Because no one ever took the time to invest in their lives. So that's what we're doing. We're actually starting that. We're really working on that right now to get that going. My goal is that at least 50 to 60% of this church has been discipled. Should be 100%, but 50 to 60% of this church is discipled, and now they start discipling someone else. There's a church in, I believe, either Marion or Mansfield, Ohio. That's a church of 300. Of those, 200 of the 300 are involved in discipleship, where they are discipling or being discipled. And so we're working on that right now, too. So where are we going as Mount Tabor? Discipleship, 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 discipleship. I cannot emphasize that anymore. Adult discipleship and youth discipleship. I have really been on Kyle, well, we've been on agreement, Kyle and I, that when these youth leave Mount Tabor, they will be spiritually strong. Because if they are not spiritually strong, if they go to a secular university, they will be eaten alive. And, or a Christian university, they very easily can be eaten alive as well. Because just because it's a Christian university does not mean it's Christian. Okay? Harvard and Yale are Christian universities. So, and this year we're really working with Kyle on that, looking for opportunities. Matter of fact, Kyle should be taking, you're taking a discipleship class right now, aren't you? Kyle's taking a discipleship class through Weinbrenner Seminary. Originally I was going to fly him down to Orlando so we could have a week's vacation, go see the mouse and get a discipleship class. And Kyle said, no, how could I be in Florida while you, Pastor, are freezing in Salina? That's what Kyle said to me. And I said, Kyle, oh great man you are, I thank you for your willingness to sacrifice. Well, anyway, what happened with Kyle? There's a little halo happening with him. What happened is we were working on that. There's a discipleship program that actually was in Orlando. And Kyle actually found that Weinbrenner Seminary was having it. So he's going to get some college credit while he's doing that. So that's kind of where we're at. So he's in training for that as well. Okay. Tabor must be on the cutting edge of everything that we do. Can you see this? Can you see that picture? What's wrong with this picture? Can anybody see it? There's something wrong with this picture. No? Nope, 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 nope. What? Can't see the title what? Okay, nope, that's not it either. This actually came from a church. This was put on Facebook. And he says, I was walking through my church and I saw this. Can anybody see it? That's why I don't know if you can or not. Top right corner. Andy Williams. Okay, what is it? What? No. It is an Andy Williams record. Vinyl record. Okay? And I saw that, I said, this goes right along with what I'm talking about. It's an Andy Williams vinyl record. And what it's saying is, okay, and that is in a church right now. Okay? How many of you still use vinyl records? Oh, thanks a lot. You guys totally destroyed what was my point here. I'm done, man, I tell you. Yeah, get your crutch up. Okay, okay. Jim,
yes.
I will now find out who that pastor is and get you that record for Andy Williams. But a lot of churches are in time warps. And we need to make sure that we're on cutting edge. We never compromise the gospel. We never compromise our purpose. But we've got to be on the cutting edge of everything that we're doing. For example, we now have these TVs in here that are scrolling. Okay? We live broadcast. We have a website. We have a Facebook page. We haven't Twittered yet because I haven't figured that out yet. But I'm just saying, those are all the things that believe it or not, you gotta be up on top of always. When I started the ministry 32 years ago, I remember the bishop sent out a letter to all the churches, and he said, "I want to know how modern you are. Who all has a fax machine?" Yeah, I mean, that's what he was saying. Yeah, well, I didn't at the time, but I wanted to be modern, so I went and got a fax machine. And then came the computers. And then came the printers, and then the computers. And on and on and on we go. To now we're at the point now where I can almost do a cartoon movie on my computer as it deals with the sermon. really don't want to, but I'm just saying that's where we're at. So we have to be on the cutting edge, because if we're going to speak to the generation that's here, we got to be able to speak their language. But I don't want to, neglect or forget about the heritage of the past. That's what I liked about this church when I came here, was that there were two services. When I went to two services in Findlay, the big mistake that I made in Findlay was the fact that we kept the music the same. And I found out we couldn't please anyone. And I've talked to another pastor in this area that just went to two services as well. And I said, you need to make one traditional and one contemporary. And he goes, I'm not going to do that. I said, I'm going to tell you, that's what I learned. And yeah, I know there's a desire to bring the two services back together, but who's going to give? Oh, we can intertwine the music. It doesn't work. I'll be honest with you, it doesn't work. Because now I please no one. And trust me, I've seen it. So we need to be on the cutting edge. Many times parishioners will go up to pastors and say, can't we do this? And the pastor says, but we did it, and we saw no results. But if we would just do this, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Okay? And so it's important that we are on that cutting edge, and we are constantly looking at, okay, how can we reach out with the gospel even more? How can we reach out with the gospel even more? What is it, you know? Okay. We need to be busy with a purpose. Now, we are a very busy church. You are a very busy church. I mean, I sent my secretary from Findlay called us up and said, can you send me a bulletin of what you guys are doing in church? Because we're looking at redoing our bulletin. I said, okay. So we sent it to her, and she goes, wow. She goes, what in the world? I mean, I think she fell on the floor. But you are a very, very busy church. But the thing is, we got to be very careful, is that we're busy with a purpose. Because if you're just busy for busy's sake, you're just expending a lot of energy. But if you're busy with a purpose, then you have a goal in mind. For example, so what's the purpose of the Easter egg hunt? To give candy out. If that's the case, then that's all we're going to do is give candy out. If the purpose is to bring people into Tabor, okay, then we can do that. But if the purpose is to introduce them to Jesus Christ, then we need to make sure that our programming during that time at least shares the gospel. And the same thing with VBS and the same thing with T-ball, all that. We're bringing a lot of non-Christians in. We need to use it as an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. What God wants us to do is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to save people. Hear me on this. Now you're going to... I know some people just had a heart attack me saying that. We're not the ones who save it. Who saves? The Holy Spirit saves. But our job is to present the gospel to them and let the Holy Spirit do the work. And we need to be ready, you know, to disciple them and to share the gospel and the next steps and everything else. So it's the Holy Spirit's job to do that. So we need to have a purpose. So what is our purpose? Our purpose is to glorify God by sharing His love with our community, by reaching out and building up. So, when we do have the, Easter egg hunt, we're reaching out. But we need to go a little farther in building up. We're where they are at, which is most of them are probably nominal Christians, if not non-Christian. So how are you building them up? Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the real reason for Easter. You know, it's not about a bunny. You know, it's about Jesus. And so we need to make sure that we're busy with a purpose. Okay. Other things that we're going to be doing at Tabor. Probably after Easter, we're going to develop a 40 days of prayer here. What 40 days of prayer is, we take 40 days and one person is praying for this church At least one person is praying for this church every minute, every hour, every day. Not one person can do that. Right. So what we do is we're going to put a sign-up sheet out there. You're going to get a 30-minute slot where we're going to be asking you to pray during those 30 minutes, and we're going to be giving you a prayer sheet that you can pray during those times. You say, what am I going to pray for? We're going to give you the prayer sheet. You're going to pray for this board member, this board member, this board member, this board member. You're going to be praying for the staff. You're going to be praying for the leadership. You're going to be praying. That's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be praying for that time. And hopefully we got somebody praying, at least one person praying, every minute of every hour, every day. 2 a.m, 3 a.m, somebody's praying. Do I come to the church and pray? If you want to, but it's going to be locked, but probably at your home. Just go home and pray. You're going to see weird things start to happen. When we become a church of prayer, you start to see weird things. Every church that I've ever done this in, stories. We were just driving by this church, and God told us we had to go here. Next week, Grandma brings Casey in. And I don't know why we're here, but Casey, we drove by this church, and Casey looked at me and says, we're going to go to that church. And they were unchurched. See, God will draw people in, and God draws people into a healthy church. Or a church that's using all of his stuff instead of our own, you know. Let's use his weapons instead of our weapons. And so we're going to be looking at that. Okay, staffing. We need to look at staffing. This church is fairly large. There is no way in the world I can keep up with everything. 320 constituency. One man. Okay? Average attendance, 220. Even 220, one person, it's hard. I can't do it. It's impossible. So I will be challenging the board in that area. Just letting you know that. I will be challenging the board in that area of some additional staffing or readjusting how we're doing it now. Leadership structure. I'm going to be challenging the board in that area as well. Looking at how we do things and how can we be more efficient in that area. Our elders are going to be meeting on Tuesday, and I'm going to give them some suggestions. You know, following the structures and the procedures that are here. You do know if we ever change the board structure, it has to go to a constitutional change. So, I mean, it basically goes back to you guys, too. So, but you can constantly look at what you're doing and how you're doing it. And so looking at the leadership structure of the church and how we can be more efficient in that area. So what I have here, and this will give you an idea of what we're talking about here. This is called natural church development. And what it is, it's called the bucket principle, the oak bucket principle. And what it is there are 8 characteristics of a healthy church. Empowering leadership. That doesn't mean I do it. It means you all do it. Now, I will tell you, you're strong in that area. You're very strong in that area. Gift-based ministry, where you look at where your spiritual gifts are and you use those spiritual gifts. Passionate spirituality. What passionate spirituality is Jesus is just part of you, who you are. I can tell how spiritual somebody is just based upon the talk that they have. And what I mean is if they start talking about Jesus or spiritual thing, it just flows from them. It's not forced. Okay? Effective structures. Okay, that's the leaderships and how we do things, and that's what we've been working on in the church, in the office. Inspiring worship service. My opinion is you're strong on that one. Holistic small groups. We're working on those right now. Need-oriented evangelism. Yeah, we've got that, but we're going to keep working on that. And loving relationships. That's going to be a struggle, especially as the church continues to grow, is how we can still maintain those loving relationships. Okay? Now, And so here we have this bucket. The thing about this bucket is the water will grow up to the lowest rung in the bucket. And so let's say that effective structures is fairly poor in this church. The church will grow up to that level of the effective structures, and that's where it will stagnate. Okay? And so we look at those, I constantly look at those eight structures, how we're doing. There is a survey that a church takes. It gives you a pretty good snapshot of where you are. And then you start focusing on that area. And a lot of churches have gone through it, have seen good results. And there's others, but just like any tool that's out there, you know, some work in some churches, some don't. But anyway, what I'm doing is I'm looking at those eight structures and saying, how does this affect here? If I were to peg one of them, I think we're low on. I would probably. I would probably go with holistic small groups and loving relationships. And the reason why I say loving relationships, because I mean, your friends, don't get me wrong. I mean, this is a very loving church. You guys are fun. I really enjoy it. But you're friends with your own friends. And so how can we reach out beyond that? Holistic small groups, that does include Sunday school classes, but I'd like to see you know, two-thirds of everybody in this church in a small group. Interesting statistic about you. Remember I said 220 people is our average attendance. Where's our Sunday school right now? 100. So we're about 50%. And that's about right. I mean, that's good. Don't get me wrong. Let me rephrase that. That is really good. Most churches are one-third. But how are you going to learn? I mean, how are you going to interact with people and stuff like that? So that's where I would say. So it really boils down to this. We're at a crossroads. Every church is at a crossroads in America. We can just keep doing what we're doing, or we can continue to evolve and continue to change. And I know change is a bad word in a church, but we can continue to look at how we are doing things and continue to change. Some of the stuff that I'll introduce have worked, and some of it won't. But you got to be willing to fail. How many times did Edison make his light bulb before it finally worked? You know, a lot of times. So there would be some. I think one of the things that really succeeded this past year was the Hoedown Sunday. How many remember that? Did you have fun? Wasn't that a fun time? Yeah. I mean, so we tried something new. It worked. So guess what? We're going to do it next year. I actually have somebody that I'm trying to get a hold of. They might be playing the banjo and really having fun on that particular Sunday. Trying to think what we did that didn't fail. That did fail. There was something. It flopped. We didn't have that, did we? Well, I answered that question, I didn't. Okay. I told you throughout this week, throughout this month, I want you to write questions down. And if you write questions down, then I was going to answer them. I got three questions in, and I'll answer them as quick as I can because we're a little bit behind. Question, why does the church in general view sin in categories where there are some sins that are worse than others? And okay, I'll answer that one because we're human. That's why. Why is it that we don't, we go after, let's say, murder, but yet we won't go after gluttony? So I was thinking about that one, and yeah, all sin is sin. No ifs, ands, or buts. But yeah, they're right. We tend to focus on categories of sin, and as a church in general. But yeah, primarily because we're human, and that's how we view things. I know I probably didn't answer the question totally, but anyway. What is the church's stance on abortion, and how is it involved in the pro-life movement? We are very pro-life. We are extremely strong in that. I'm a strong believer that there's no such thing as an illegitimate child. There's no such thing as an illegitimate child. They're illegitimate parents, but no illegitimate child. And and how are we involved in the pro-life movement? I don't know we are we? I know we put our name in the paper and stuff like that, but do we? If Tammy was here, she could tell me. You know, as far as helping, with the crisis pregnancy, I know we referred people there, crisis pregnancy center, stuff like that. So, okay. Thirdly, what is the church's stance on male leadership, especially on an elder board? Yeah. I'm a firm believer that you get the man of the house in the church, you're going to get the rest of the family in the church, or into the church. I'm a strong believer in male leadership. You look through Scripture, and that's the primary. It does not mean that women cannot do it, because you go look at Deborah. Deborah in the Old Testament, she did it. And Priscilla and Aquila and those individuals were leaders as well. However, for the primary leadership within this church, especially the elder board, I believe it should be male. Scripturally and personally. Scripturally, because that's what the Bible says. Personally, primarily because I meet with the elders and I talk about intimate things, and I don't want to talk to a woman about intimate things. Do you understand what I mean by that? There are boundaries. And it's kind of a protection on me. So, you know, I don't want to go to... I was going to use a name here, but it's one of your names, so I'm going to think of someone else. Can't use Rachel. She's here. Can't use Jan. Can't use Priscilla. You know, I'm not going to go to Priscilla and say, you know what, I'm really struggling with this this sin, and a guy might understand it, but you don't. But, you know, and so that's why I hold to that. Also, I've seen when the men of a church catch it and get it and become strong, the rest of the church usually follows. And when they become strong in the Lord, the rest of the church usually follows. Okay, so those are the three questions that I got. Now, we're gonna close off here, but I wanted to share where we're at, where we are, and where we're going. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to ask some questions. That's why I had you write it down. If you have any questions as a result of this, you are more than welcome to give me a phone call. You're more welcome to meet me in my office, and we'll discuss some things. My job here is to glorify Jesus Christ and do the best job I can for the honor of Jesus Christ. That's my job here, and for you guys to follow. I know that God has called Polly and I here, and it's just a miracle how it all happened. But I'll also tell you I take my position very strongly, and when I miss an opportunity to share the gospel, it's very painful. People have asked me over the last year, how do you like Mount Tabor and how you like Salina? I'll be honest with you. I really like it here. You got good people, good staff. Your facilities are tremendous. The potential here is out of sight. And my last church, we didn't even have a road that went by it. You know, you guys at least got a church sign that people can see. But you've kept up. You guys were smart. You guys were very, very smart starting in 1993. You guys were smart. And I know it wasn't easy. But I can tell you, had you not done the decisions that you made in 1993, I can start pointing to the churches that's where you would be right now. Okay, so you're very, very smart in those areas. There will be pain. There always will be. I want you to know that I always listen. I'm not an attacker. I hate attacking. But if you have an issue and you want to talk to me about it, I'm here. And I'll listen. I got 2 ears and 1 mouth. I've learned to keep my mouth shut. Okay. Oh, yeah, and the last question is, how do you like Salina? Except for the tornadoes. You need more restaurants. That's what you need. You need more restaurants in Salina. So, anyway. But yeah, we really like it. We really like our house. As I said many times, our house is always open. Some of you have come over, and you're welcome anytime at our house. And we want you to know that. So, okay, let's pray. Father, a lot of stuff we talked about today. And we just pray that people catch the vision of discipleship. And we pray that'll happen. So, Lord, be with us and be with us the rest of the service. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. God bless you.